just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. This is Mrs. Waite again. I'm so glad to be with you. You know, I want to tell you about one of the most exciting things that happened to me recently. It was our 60th wedding anniversary. It was August 27, 2008. Now, that was a while back, but I'm just telling you about it. Our daughter and her husband from the South came to visit us. We were going to celebrate our day together. When our daughter and son-in-law were married in 1976, they chose the same date as ours so we could remember each other better. So I thought that was good, and I thought their coming up here was fine. I really didn't think that the boys, our three sons, would care at all that their parents had been married 60 years. I told my husband, if the children do not care, I'm not going to do anything myself, unless you plan something. Of course, he didn't plan anything. No surprise there. To be perfectly honest, I was feeling bad because I did not think any of our children, except David, who died in April, would care. David was a big celebrator of days and seasons, which my husband is not fond of doing, and I enjoy. So on the Saturday before our actual anniversary, Diane, Reggie, and Dad and I went to the Collingswood Farmers Market. We live here in Collingswood, New Jersey, you know. That's real close to Philadelphia. We got peaches and apples and hand-stuffed olives and a bar of handmade soap that had a fragrant scent. Diane was thrilled with the fresh New Jersey produce. After all, we are the Garden State. We got some flowers for David's grave. That was nice. He is buried in the veterans section of the cemetery close by. I call it the Field of Glory. My husband is a veteran, so we have three plots there. I always thought it would be nice to own other property, so we own some other property. Of course, we'll have to be dead before we get to claim it. It is a very moving area of the grounds there. The gravestones are called footstones, and they are flat to the ground. All a person can see as they approach this part of the cemetery are American flags flying their bright, beautiful red, white, and blue, 24/7. If you come see us, we can take you there. Our daughter wanted to visit her brother's grave, so we drove over to Harley Cemetery on the edge of Collingswood next to the Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Camden. It is a beautiful cemetery. Walt Whitman is buried there. His dates are May 31, 1819 to March 26, 1892. He has a collection of poetry called Leaves of Grass, which was called Obscene. He was from Camden, New Jersey. Records indicate he was gay. His $4,000, the 1892 prices, his $4,000 mausoleum is there, containing many of his dead relatives, even a nine-month-old baby. So we walked over to the grave site, trying to avoid the geese dirt wherever we walked. There was a beautiful lake near the grave, and trees and geese, and always, every time we go there, fresh graves. The other day, there was a grave gaping wide and open when we walked by. Then all of a sudden, a big dirt-moving machine headed our way, dumping a load of dirt into the hole. How very real is death? How very real is the grave? How very real is a hell to shun and a heaven to call home? We place the flowers on the grave by David's footstone. It is not easy for me to view his name on that stone. It makes reality so real. It reads, Born Again and Saved, with scripture references. Previously, I put a pinwheel there that twirls around in the wind along with the American flag that the American Legion placed there last Memorial Day. I still can't believe he is gone. I know he is with Jesus. I know that. But still he is and was my son, our second born. I wrote a mother in Indiana recently whose son died. She had other children, but no one takes the place of another. Only Jesus could do that on the cross. I poured my pen out to her in sympathy. She said only a mother could have written my letter to her. Only a mother whose son had died could understand. How true. Here is a paragraph from that letter. Bear with me, please. And I quote, "With our minds, we know that our sons are with Jesus, and that is far better, but with our hearts, we miss them. We miss their phone calls, their steps at the door, the confusion they caused us, and the wondering about them. But most of all, we miss praying for them. Yes, David had confusion, but God saved his soul, even though as a young child he received Jesus. He had some kind of awakening as an older adult. Perhaps that was the time of his actual salvation. He often said so. His testimony at the church he joined in Paulsboro was surprisingly outstanding. Hearing about his life there comforted us. In the past, how empty had been my words of comfort to others, even though I had tried. I think of my own mother and her loss of my sister. I only knew the loss of a sister, not a child. I could understand that, for it was my grief. I could not understand my mother's grief. I watched her. I tried. I comforted. But I didn't know. But now I do. Only she is not here, my mother, for me to comfort. I miss her. But I do have her poems, and I want you to have them, too. You will never regret ordering with tears in my heart. Just call 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and send a gift of $15. Now, getting back to our 60th wedding anniversary, our granddaughter, Daniel's son, wanted us to come over to her house after the cemetery. She wanted to play a special trumpet solo for us. I suppose it was in honor of our mutual anniversaries. That was nice. We were a little late, and I was concerned that she would think we had forgotten. So Aunt Diane called her, updating her on our whereabouts. Little did we know that that update was important. As we were driving, another granddaughter from Maryland called Grandpa's cell phone. There was static. It was hard to understand Elizabeth. Aunt Diane grabbed the phone from her dad and communicated to her niece. "We'll call you later, Elizabeth." "I won't forget," was the message. Elizabeth didn't know. When we got to the house, no one was there except Anna, our granddaughter. That was unusual. We sat down and the trumpet solo began. "Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you." How good. At least Anna remembered, I thought. Then from the back of the house came our children. There were our sons and our daughters saying, "Surprise," our daughters, too. And that I was. Tears came to my eyes. They did care after all. I was so wrong. Tammy, Dan's wife, and Anna's mother had a most beautiful table set for us. Croissant sandwiches, tiny candies, and little Cinderella shoes, and pretend diamonds all over the table. It was beautiful. Jeanette had made a watermelon fruit bowl piled high in the shell of the watermelon itself. Richard and Lorraine brought a beautiful red roses in a vase, a bouquet. Anna gave us 6 big balloons, one for each decade. Then get this. Diane and Reggie ordered a wedding cake, a regular wedding cake, as if we were a new bride and groom. It was lovely. I couldn't get over it. They had us cut it and feed each other as if we were just married. They did this for us. They really cared. It was so wonderful to be there with our children. Of course, I miss David. They just wanted our family, just our original family, together. They didn't want to invite the world, for wherever we go, the world is there, crowding around their father, asking questions. They wanted us all to themselves. That was fine with me. Then, to top it off, Dan sent our picture and a write-up about our 60 years to our local papers, as well as Cleveland, Ohio newspapers. Dr. Wade and I originally are from Ohio, you know. What a surprise when we were sent a news clipping with our pictures in it by mail from our Ohio friend, as well as opening our local town retrospect and seeing our faces and news spread before our eyes. Now, everyone knows what we look like. People have come up to us and they say, I saw your picture in the paper. Congratulations. Congratulations. Didn't you like that? I thought you would like that very much, so that's why I told you. Now, maybe you'd like to know what Dr. Waite's been doing lately. He's always doing something and working and answering your emails or whatever. I suppose the first thing to tell you about was my husband's new book. It's called 2 Timothy Preaching Verse by Verse. You can have that for a gift of $11. Call 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and we'll send it to you. Tell them you heard it on Mrs. Waite's program, because I won't charge you postage if you tell it you heard from me here. It has 244 pages. It is the 8th in the continuing series of books that Dr. Waite has been writing from his Bible teaching sermons that he has preached in our Bible for Today Baptist Church. The church and the Bible for Today are separate organizations, for perhaps you have forgotten that Dr. Waite in his church ministry preaches verse by verse, moving right along with the flow of the scripture narrative. It is refreshing, to say the least, to have a pastor who actually preaches the Bible with long stories constantly interfering with the teaching. Let me quote to you from the back cover. This is a quote. I have fought a good fight. As the Apostle Paul wrote his last letter before going home to glory, he summed up his autobiography in 3 short clauses. First, he said, I have fought a good fight. He did not deny that his faithful service for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was a fight. But he hastened to add that his fight for the Savior, in his words, was a good fight. He did not cut corners. He did not lie. He did not play favorites. He did not cower before his many enemies. So it's a great blessing to read these books that my husband has written, and this new one is very exciting to have. We're having it printed a new way, and so you would probably be interested to see the new way it's printed. So I just wanted to tell you these things. I wondered if you realize that you can download my husband's sermons on the internet if you want to, or you can just click on. You click on, and our website is www.BibleForToday.org. And then you click on to the brown bar. And at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, our programs are live, our Bible for Today Baptist Church. And we're 10 years old now, by the way. We just are having a birthday. And then at 1:30, our Bible for Today Baptist Church at www.BibleForToday.org. You can hear the discussions at 1:30, which now we're in Galatians, and you really enjoy it. On Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, click on to www.BibleForToday.org, and you can click on the brown bear and hear our discussions in Daniel right now. It's been so good talking to you and telling you a little bit about my family and about our 60th anniversary. I love you in the Lord, and I'd love to hear from you. Call me sometime. Bye.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@BibleForToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?